Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to see you, whether you're on here with your live video on or just your name or your phone number or a still picture, however you're here, I welcome you to the Contemporary Bible Class. I am Sister Velma Jean Sanders, the teacher of the class, and I am glad that you are here. This class is a Bible study. We study from the Word of God, directly from the Word of God, comparing scripture with scripture. You run a lot of references. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So I teach from directly from the Word of God. As you may have heard me say in the past, you could take many passages of scripture, not all of them, but many of them. And you could have 10 different teachers, 10 different speakers, and each one of them would say something different. They would say some things that are the same, no doubt, but they would also say things that are different. And that's because God's word is manifold, is manifested in many ways. There are limitless layers to the word of God. And so I'm teaching it in limited time that we have. I'm teaching it in the measure that God gives to me, and in the way that God gives to me for this class. Most of you who have been with me a while know that the Lord gives me much more than I have time to say in class. If we had more time, we could say more. But this class is for 1 hour, and the Lord does measure out our food. It's not like you go to the refrigerator. You know, we have refrigerators and different ways to contain and keep our food. But when you go to get your food, you don't take everything out of the refrigerator and cook it all at once. You measure it out. And so it is with the word of God. You can't eat it all at once. And so the Lord, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that includes our measure of physical food, as well as our daily needs, but also our measure of the word of God. I greet you in the name of Jesus. That's the name that we gather under. And I always like to say that because Jesus Christ, he is head of the church. And we want to acknowledge him always as the great head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give him his honor and his glory. So we gather together in his name. Today, we will be continuing in our study from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 14. And our passage of concentration, the verses that we will be concentrating on today, is verses 15 through 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. Today is October the 17th, Sunday evening, and that is our class. We meet Sunday evenings at 6:30 to 7:30. Start on time, end on time. And so having said that, let me also say I am now another year older since I last met with you all last week. And for those of you who acknowledge my birthday in any way, whether it was through cards, through calls, through cards, through gifts, or maybe you didn't do any of that, but you thought of me, and maybe you didn't even know it was my birthday, but you wished me well. So to all of you, I want to say thank you for all acts of kindness and appreciation. None of it is solicited by me. Those are just purely gifts from you, the class. I never want to use this platform or any platform to promote myself. But I thank each of you who knew about my birthday and acknowledged it in any way. I also take this opportunity to acknowledge your birthday, because everyone's birthday is important. That's one thing we have in common. We all have a birthday. So whether you were born in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, or December, I take this opportunity when I'm thanking you for my birthday to acknowledge yours as well. So happy birthday to each one of you as well. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, giving praise and glory and honor to you, the Most High God. We come before you, bowing down before you. And it is our goal, our purpose, our heart's desire that we decrease and that you increase. That's what it's all about, is making God great and exalting you, Lord. And that is our goal, to exalt you above all others, especially ourselves. We exalt you as the Most High God. But at the same time, Lord God, we recognize the different gifts and talents and all the blessings that you have given to each one of us. And for that, we are thankful, and we thank you for using us in your service. We want to be better servants, better stewards of your gifts that you've given to us. We want to be better servants, better stewards, better disciples, better brothers and sisters in Christ, better students of the Word of God. And then, Lord, as I pray that, I ask you to forgive us of our sins, strengthen us where we're weak, build us up where we're torn down. We pray for one another and for every need that is in this class, whether it's a spiritual need, an emotional need, a physical need, mental or physical, whatever the need is for all of our classmates, we lift them up in prayer. We also pray for the absent part of us. We pray that all is well. And now I pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I cannot teach your word. It's too high, too holy for me. But I yield myself to you as a vessel. And I ask you, Lord, to use me in your service, that we might be better servants, going out, letting our light shine in a dark world. We praise you forevermore through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening to those of you who have joined us since we first started. I'm glad that you are here. By the way, you're never late to class. Even if you come in the last few minutes, I encourage you to still come to class. Don't worry about I'm too late. And just come on. Just come on to class. Okay, today we're going to continue on in Luke chapter 14. Our passage today, our particular passage, is verses 15 through 24. I hope that you have been reading along in the Gospel according to Luke, especially chapter 14. And I encourage you to go ahead and read further. But first of all, let's back up. I'd like to review. This will not be a real detailed review, but just to bring us all up to what's going on and what will be going on in verse 15, let's review for a moment. We have found out that Luke chapter 14 is divided into two portions. There is, first of all, verses 1 through 24, that all has to do with fellowship, relationship, whether it's fellowship, relationship with God, or fellowship, relationship with others. That's verses 1 through 24. And then verses 25 through 35 has to do with discipleship. So this chapter is about relationship with God and with others, discipleship, being a student of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 1 through 24, which is the portion that we'll be studying today, we see that verses 1 through 24 all happen in one setting. And the one setting is in a rich Pharisee's house. All these verses occur at one setting, in the rich Pharisee's house. That's in verse 1, where we find out it's the Sabbath day. And we know on Sabbath day that the Jews, especially those who kept the ordinances and the law of God, the ones who were trying to do what the Lord says on the Sabbath, they went to synagogue service. And so it's after synagogue service, after the worship service on the day of Sabbath. And this particular rich ruler of the Pharisees had a meal that he had invited invited some people to. And one of his guests was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was invited to this meal. Now, using your imagination and based upon what we have read from the Word of God, we can also imagine that the disciples are there as well. I could picture that. I don't picture that Jesus would go in with this meal to this meal and leave his disciples to eat somewhere else. I picture the disciples right there following Jesus. Because first of all, we know discipleship meaning follower of Christ, but we also know Jesus is raising up these disciples to be like him. And so as he's talking to the Pharisees and the guests, the lawyers, he's also even more so teaching his disciples. So, you know, it doesn't always have to say the disciples were there. We know that. That is a given, that the disciples are there. And so they're there, and they would be like characters that are beneath the scene, but they are still on the scene. And so we're in this rich Pharisee's house, and these people, these astute people are there. At least they think they are astute. This particular group of people think they're better than everyone else. We have learned that the word Pharisee means separated ones. And truly, they thought they were cream of the crop, above all others. They praised themselves, and they wanted others to praise them as well. And so we see the setting is on the Sabbath day after the synagogue service. Well, this ruler has a meal. But first of all, the first thing that happened was someone was in the house that really didn't fit in with the other guests. He did in one sense. He's a fellow human being. He's special in the sense that Christ died for him. He was no less than anyone else. He was no better than anyone else. But according to the Pharisees, he should not have been in the house. But they had some kind of way that man with dropsy ended up in the house. And we found out that it probably was a scheme, a setup by the Pharisees to trick and to trap Jesus. It did not work. No one tricks the Lord. No one outdoes the Lord, outsmarts the Lord. And so when it's all said and done, we saw that Jesus outsmarted them, and they were put to silence. They were put to so much silence that it is said twice. In verse 3, Jesus asked the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Well, that's a simple yes or no. They could have said yes, which they never would have said, or they could have said no, which they had said before. But this time they didn't say a mumbling word. And so verse 4 says they kept silent. Well, then Jesus has another question for them in verse 5. And then once again in verse 6, they could not answer him regarding these things. And so now Jesus, in the position of authority, he is always in authority, whether it's known or not. The Lord is God, and he's always in authority. But now we really see him in the rich Pharisee's house in the position of authority. All of them have been silenced, and Jesus has the floor. And so verse 7, and they're listening with both ears. So verse 7, Jesus tells a parable. We're going to see the Lord telling several parables in this passage. First of all, he addressed the guest, and we've already studied this. He first addressed the guest, because as the guest, and you have to picture this meal. First of all, the people had to get from the synagogue and go to the house, to this ruler's house. And so they've traveled however long a distance they had to go to get there. And now that they're in the house and the man that Jesus healed, Jesus dismissed that man. He dismissed him because that man he received what God had for him. And the meal really was not made for him. The man was set there as a trap. And so Jesus dismisses him, but now he has words to say to the Pharisees and to the lawyers. He first of all talks to the guests because he notices, you know, they were watching him. That's how this passage starts out in verse 1. They watched him closely. Well, while they were watching Jesus, Jesus is watching them. And he has, you talk about 20/20 vision, and there's no such thing with God. Jesus sees perfectly. And so Jesus, he notices them. He's watching them. And what does he see? He notices in verse 7, it says he noted how they chose the best places. And that's what they wanted. They were vying for position. They were manipulating. They were trying to get the best seat. They were winking and they were blinking. They were in competition with one another. They might have been smiling at each other, but all of them wanted the best place, the best seat. And so they wanted to be not only at the head of the table, because you remember that spirit even creeps in with the saints. Sad to say that, but we can remember the disciples were James and John. They wanted the position on the right hand and on the left hand of Jesus. Even the disciples at one point wanted the best place. And so that tells us we have to be careful too. That same spirit can creep into all of us. The spirit of pride, also the spirit of division, also wanting to be the best. And so Jesus teaches them about being humble. And that's what verses 7 through 11 is about, how to humble themselves. Seek the low place. Go high. I want to do as much and accomplish as much as God wants me to do. But on the other hand, and I do want to accomplish much and receive as much, do as much, even have as much as God wants me to have. And I'm sure you could say the same thing. We want the best that God has for us, but not at the expense of others. That's the problem. They wanted the best place. They didn't want you to have the best place. They wanted the best place, and you just sit where you can. Well, we're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. We're supposed to seek to promote others, to help others, to lift others. If you have a spirit that wants to keep somebody down, well, that's not of God. We should be about, yes, Lord, I want the best, but I also want my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to have their best as well. And we know the ground is level at the foot of the cross. If you have one talent, five talents, or 10 talents, do your one talent to the best of your ability, or your five, or your 10, and you will receive a just reward. But when we start comparing ourselves to one another, that's when competition enters in. And you notice in this passage, in verse 7, it says, the best place. Verse 7. It says in there, they chose the best places. But when you look at verse 9, here's the opposite. Verse 9 says at the end, the lowest place. And I think of a race, because when there's races, you have someone is first place, someone is second place, third place, and someone has to come in last. And so it's like they're racing against one another to be first, to be the best, to have the best. They're in competition, and the Lord rebukes that, and he tells them, just sit down, you know, sit down somewhere and seek the lowest seat and leave promotion to God. All right, so that was the first thing that he had to say to the guests. But then we go on to verse 12, and in verse 12 now, Jesus turns, as it were, and I can imagine, you can imagine too. You're talking about the best place, the head table. Well, we know it's the rich ruler's house. We know that. And we can imagine, I'm sure it's true, that Jesus was sitting at the head table. Of course he was sitting at the head table. Because why did they have Jesus in the house in the first place? You know, they didn't really like Jesus. So why was he there? Well, Jesus was popular. Jesus was respected by the people. Crowds of people followed Jesus. Jesus did many wonderful works. And you know, when someone is popular and the crowd is following them, then people want to get in on it. And even though they didn't like that Jesus had the spotlight, they wanted to get in on this, be next to Jesus. I'll invite him to my house. Well, since they had a divisive spirit to begin with, their spirit is divisive. By them, the Pharisees, this ruler in particular at this meal, by him inviting Jesus to his house, it's not so much that he wanted to hear Jesus, because keep in mind, they're after themselves. If I have someone who's well known that comes to my house and I invite you to my house, well, people will want to come, because not so much because of me, but who's being invited? Jesus is going to be there. And they wanted to be around, rub shoulders with Jesus for their own popularity, not because of Jesus and who he was. They were still looking out for themselves. And so Jesus talks about that. But now in verse 12, he turns, as it were, his face and his posture, and he looks at the host and he talks to the host. Now, I imagine the guests, they had already been silenced. And as they're trying to select their seats, you know, they're in the midst of selecting their seat. And Jesus is talking about them right when they're doing what they're doing. And I'm sure it was very uncomfortable. I'm sure the atmosphere was thick, because Jesus is like, what you all are doing right now, that's the very thing you should not be doing. And they didn't know what to do, you know. And that right there made them uncomfortable. Well, Jesus now, and Jesus is, he's out to make us uncomfortable, but it's for the sake of making us better, to make us better. And then for him ultimately to be glorified and his Father. Now in verse 12, Jesus turns his focus to the one who invited him, the host. Well, the host may have thought he had gotten by with things, but he hadn't, because now Jesus talks directly to the host. And he tells that host, since the host is the one who sponsored the meal, the host is the one who footed the bill and invited the guests. And Jesus said, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors. Don't be asking folks on your same level all the time. We talked about this last week. That does not mean that you can't have a dinner at your house or wherever where you just have your friends over. That's not what Jesus is saying. We know there are times in scripture where it was just Jesus and his disciples. We know it was time in scripture where Jesus put others out. And I think of when Jesus healed, when he healed Jairus's daughter, and he just took in the mother and the father, and I think several of the disciples. Well, there were times where it was select people. And it's okay if we have a meal or go to lunch with our peers. Nothing wrong with that. The problem here is that's all who the Pharisees hung around. That's the only people they invited all the time. That people that they thought they called their equal, they always invited and only invited their brothers, their friends, their rich neighbors. That's the only people they hung around, is people they thought were on their same level. And so once again, it's a divisive spirit, a competitive spirit among them. And they excluded masses of people. Well, keep in mind our context from last week. Remember, I said the context of the scripture, and you always have to remember when you're studying, look for the context. This is not just talking about having a family-friendly meal where it's just you and your family. Nothing's wrong with that. What's wrong with this is it's the Sabbath day. They just left the synagogue service on the Sabbath. Who's in the synagogue? Who's in the church services? Is it only rich people? Is it only your relatives or your friends? No, there's a mixture of people in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You've got rich, you've got poor, you've got well-known, you've got unknown. You have men, you have women. You have people with degrees and people who don't have degrees. You have people who are in social clubs and others who are not. But we all come together at the foot of the cross. We all glorify God. We're all washed by the blood. We all come on the same level at the cross and in worship. And so the sin came in where after worship, where the ruler should have been concerned about keeping the body together, unifying the body, bringing everybody together. If he's going to invite his friends, that's verse 12, invite his friends, his brothers, his relatives, and his rich neighbors, then he ought to sometime. Now, there's a time where you can have a meal where it's just a few, but not at the expense of worship. When the church comes together, when the saints come together in the hour of worship, we're all together. If it's a meal service, after the a meal being served by the leaders, after the service for a host of people, make sure that it's not just select few. And that was their problem. All the time, they were separated ones. And so Jesus wants them to know, verse 13, when you give a feast at some of these meals, sometimes you ought to invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Invite those who cannot pay you back. Invite those who will never be invited to a dinner. There are many people, they will never be invited to a dinner. You've got a whole group of people, the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And you picture that group. Who invites the blind? You know, you may know someone, few of us know anyone blind personally. I don't think I know anyone personally that's blind. I know of people, but you all get the point. Jesus is talking about people that will never, never be promoted by these Pharisees. And that was the sin. And so Jesus says, rub shoulders with the rest. If you're going to invite always your own, then you're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. You're not going to be able to sit at God's table because the Lord welcomes everyone. He invites everyone. That's what we're going to talk about when we get to verse 15. He invites everyone. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come on, buy and eat. So the Lord is inviting everyone. And then the scripture ends, the Bible ends with an invitation. Let's go to it quickly in Revelation 22. And this same Bible is always inviting everyone. And Jesus came, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, God so loved the world. And when we go to Revelation, the last chapter, verse chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22 ends with this invitation. Because we're going to see when we go back to Luke 14, that word invite. And that's all throughout Luke 14. The first portion is the word invite, invitation. And the Bible closes with this invitation. It closes with this word come. It's in verse 17, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And I'm going to start at verse 16. Jesus is talking. And Jesus is signing, as it were, this Bible, this book. His last words are in Revelation 22. And he signs the letter. He signs the book with his name. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And we say, amen. That's a praise. And Jesus is praising himself. That's always the highest praise, is the praise God gives himself. He is the highest, so he's the only one who can give the highest praise. So he says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Here comes the invitation. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirst come. Whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. And so that's what, let's go back to Luke 14. That was the sin of the Pharisees. And we want to watch out for that as Christians. We want to welcome everyone. And we want to be careful of any kind of spirit of separation, especially at the point of worship. We're all one in Jesus. So now we go on. Let's go on to verse 15. In verse 15, now that was a little more of a review than I planned on giving, but it's all good. Let's move on to verse 15, our new passage for this evening. So I'm going to start out by reading the passage, Luke chapter 14, verse 15. So Jesus, now he has ended talking to the host. And we can imagine that host felt very uncomfortable too, because he's the one who had drawn up the guest list. And Jesus was letting him know, wrong, wrong, wrong. No, 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 you did it wrong. But I'm going to show you how to do it right. Next time, invite some other folks. And I want to say this again. It doesn't mean just have a meal where it's all people with special needs. It means special needs rub shoulders with the rich. Special needs rub shoulders with the blind. We come together in the name of Jesus. You all heard in Revelation 22, it was a whosoever. Same with Isaiah. Isaiah said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And so now let's move on. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he, Jesus, said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men, who were invited shall taste my supper. Now, that's some sad words right there. None of those who were invited is going to make it in. And you know, that's what we've been talking about when we were in Luke, way back in Luke chapter 12, the word division came up and how Jesus comes as a sword. He comes to divide. And we see this division coming on the scene. Well, the main thing we want to make sure, because now in verse 15, let's do a contrast here. In verses 1 through 14, it's about a man having a meal, the Pharisee. The rich Pharisee had a meal in his house, and he invited the select few. Okay, so that's on one side of the table. This rich Pharisee has a meal in his house, and he invites his peers. On the other side of the spectrum, we have a heavenly meal, because verses 15 through 24 have to do with a heavenly supper. It has to do with a heavenly meal. And we know that because verse 24 says, I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And so this has to do with the supper of the Lord. Not the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper, but the supper of the Lord, that eternal place of fellowship, that eternal place of blessing, where there's no more tears and no more sorrow, no more pain and no more death. That's what the Lord has made possible for us at his great supper, eternal blessing, eternal fellowship. Nothing but joy, joy, joy. And that's the supper that we want to be at. The supper where everybody likes all the food, where everybody's food's going to stay hot. None of it's ever going to get cold. Nobody's going to be picky. It's all going to be just right because it's going to be the Lord's supper. It's going to be the blessed supper above all. And so we want to make sure that we are the ones who make it to the supper, because we remember Revelation chapter 13. Let's go back for a moment to Revelation chapter 13. Now, we could go back even further, but I won't because of time. But there's these meals keep showing up in these different chapters, 13, chapter 14, chapter 15. Each one of those chapters has a meal, and you find out someone makes it to the meal and someone doesn't in each one of these passages. Well, in Luke chapter 13, it's the Jesus tells us, Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 24, and he's talking, answering this question. He's answering what this man said in verse 23. The man said in Luke 13, 23, then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. And that's to us today. Strive to enter. Don't rest on your laurels, as they say. Don't think, oh, I know I'm saved. I'm saved, saved, saved. I can do whatever I'm doing. Because I heard once saved, always saved. And I believe that once saved, once sealed by the Holy Spirit, you are saved and you are sealed. But if you take the attitude, I can just do any kind of thing I want because I'm saved. I can do this and I can do that because I'm saved. Now there's a problem with that, because we are saved unto sanctification. We are saved to be different. We are saved to come out of this world. We are saved to be like Jesus. And so we have to strive. You know, that's what he means when he says, take up your cross daily, deny yourself and follow me. It's a striving. If you want to get in, you got to strive. You can't get lazy on the journey. You can't get lazy. You can't get careless on the journey. I read my Bible yesterday, and then next thing you know, you don't read it the next day, and then a week go by and a month go by, you get careless. And so we have to strive to enter. That's what Jesus is saying. Strive to enter at the narrow gate. And then he gives the reason. And it's a good reason. And it's a reason that people who call themselves saved, and I'm one of them. I am saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. No, I'm saved. On my way to glory. But I am not sitting down just on that. I am to work out my soul salvation. That's what Philippians says. Work it out with fear and trembling. And so I have to keep on keeping on. And so do you. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You got to stay on the way. Verse 20:24, Luke 13. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, here's the reason. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate. That's the ruler's house, that Pharisee's house. We ate and we drank in your presence. They were around Jesus. We ate, Jesus, and we drank in your presence. And you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And so that's people. They were around Jesus. They knew all the songs of the church. They knew the prayer. They knew when to stand up. They gave their tithes. They knew all of that. And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And when it's all said and done, it's about truth and lies. It's about righteousness or iniquity. And so Jesus says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And so this Christian way is a highway of holiness. We are to be saved. We are saved to be sanctified, to not be like this world. Verse 28, Luke 13. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north, from the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. And that's why we want to seek humble yourselves. That's why we want to see everybody as one. We want to treat. We don't want to be think we're better than other folks. We don't want these different schisms in the body, because there will come a time of dividing. And the very people you think will make it in, you would think that the ones who sat with Jesus and ate with him and drank with him, Luke 13:26, you would think that group made it in the kingdom. Those who sat with him and ate with him and drank with him. And indeed, that's what we're doing as well. But not everyone who does that is going to make it in. And so Luke chapter 14, the second portion is the supper of the Lord. We may never get invite to some meals. And a matter of fact, there's a lot of meals we're not going to get invited to, because we just don't fit the standard that the others think we should fit. We'll never get invited to those meals. And that's okay. The main thing is that we make it to the supper that the Lord has. That's the one that we really want to be at. And so we have to take heed to what Jesus is telling us in these verses. Let's look at it closer here. Verse 15. Now, Jesus has been talking. And then we get to verse 15 and picture the atmosphere. What's the tone of the room? You know, What's it like in there? Well, it's tense. They've been silenced, and I'm sure they didn't get that too much food down. And when they would try to take a bite, Jesus is telling them like it is. So, you know, it wasn't really what you would call a pleasant atmosphere. And it really wasn't where, ooh, that was a good meal. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. They wasn't saying that because Jesus is telling them left and right, wrong, 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 because he loved them. That's why he was telling them wrong, because he wanted them to get to the supper of the Lord. And so the atmosphere is pretty thick in there. And verse 15, now this is how I picture it. When one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things. Well, what things did he hear? Well, Jesus was telling them, you're proud. Jesus was telling them, you think you're better than others. Jesus was telling them all those things. And when one of those people sitting at the table heard that, he said, he blurted out. Or maybe he felt uncomfortable. Maybe it was nervous energy. Maybe he was trying to change the subject. Maybe he was trying to say, oh, that's enough of that. Let me talk about something happy. And he said, now that's my imagination. I don't know what was in that man's heart. I don't know that. I'm just, when I picture this and put it in the context of what's going on, I picture, we can all picture, it wasn't what a fellowship, what a joy divine. They weren't, it wasn't a happy meal per se. But this man, for whatever reason, he says, he speaks all of a sudden, and he says, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, we would say, amen. That's a true statement. But why is this man saying this? Well, I don't know all his reasons for saying it. All we know is how Jesus responded. And when Jesus responded, he responds with a parable. And the parable lets us know, yes, verse 15, what the man said is true. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But Jesus's answer comes back, you better make sure that you get in the kingdom of God. You better make sure that you be one of those blessed. Because Jesus didn't say, yeah, that's you. You know, it could have been these Pharisees in their darkness. They could have thought, oh, if anybody's going to make an end, it's going to be us. They could have still been hardened in their sin and in their darkness. So like I said, I don't know what was in that man's heart. But we do know Jesus's response. And his response is, not everybody is going to make it in. And so he gives this parable. Jesus gives this parable now in verse 16. In verse 16, he says, then he said to him, then Jesus said to the man in response to what he says. Now he's talking to this man, but you know, everybody is still in that house. So everybody's listening, even though Jesus is giving his response to the man. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Now, we only have about 10 minutes. I'm going to see how far we get. If I see, I don't think I'm going to complete it all. We'll have a part two. Now, this, let's look at it. You know, you all know I like outlines. So let me outline verses 15 through verse 24. First of all, in verse 15, we have a guest exclamation. This guest responds. That's all in verse 15. Then from verse 16 through 24, we have Jesus's response to what the guest said. You know, that's evident from the red letter. But Jesus's response has different parts to it. First of all, in verse 16 and 17, there is an invitation. So that's verse 16 and 17, the invitation given. And then in verses 18 through 20, there are excuses that are made. So we have Jesus's response. There's an invitation given. There are excuses that are made. And as a result of the excuses made, we see the master's anger. And that's in verses 21 through through 23, the master's anger. And then we see, we'll find out, another invitation is given in there, in these verses. In the midst of the master's anger comes forth another invitation. And then verse 24 gives us the conclusion or the judgment. Because you all keep in mind, and you probably don't remember it, but when I started first teaching this big passage, I went into the alls, A-L-L. There are certain things that happen to all humanity. First of all sin. That's what we talked about. All sin. And as a result of all sinning, all die. All sin, all die. And then we went to all will be raised. All sin, all die, all will be raised. Now, if I had to do that teaching again, and I'm doing it right now, I would interject in there, all sin, all die. But then in between that is a God commands all men to repent. That's another all. God commands all men to repent. All sin, all die. All God commands all men to repent. But then it is what? All will be raised. All will be raised from the dead, saved and sinner. All will be raised. And that last all is all will be judged. Everybody will be judged. And so what we're going to see here is we're going to end up at a judgment. Verse 24. And all throughout this, there is a judgment. And the judgment is, you didn't accept my invitation. Verse 24 says, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And their ultimate judgment was to be dismissed eternally from the presence of God. But there is some that did accept the invitation. So verse 15, the man exclaims, he says, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And we say, amen. I'm looking forward to that meal. There's going to be a great supper over in glory land. I don't know how it's going to work, but we're headed to a marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible opens with food. The Bible ends with food. Jesus didn't leave here until he told us about the Lord's Supper. And he said, I won't eat it no more. I won't drink of the wine no more till I eat, drink it new with you in the kingdom of God. So we're headed to some food some kind of way. But even more than that, it represents blessed fellowship forever in the presence of the Lord. He is the real bread of life. He is the water of life. All of that is in Jesus. But there still will be a meal some kind of way. You know, because we're going to have resurrected bodies. I don't know how it works. We just have to get there and see. Verse 16. We have 6 minutes. Verse 16. So now Jesus is responding to this man. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Yes, amen. That's right. But you make sure you get in. And that's the context of the parable. Verse 16. Then he said to him, this certain man. Now we need to, and with parables, you have to be careful with parables. They represent the parable is parallel with something else. So the certain man, you know, you think of the parallel bars. You have those two bars and one is here and one is there, but they're the same. But they're on different levels, as it were, but the same. It's a parable running parallel. So a certain man, well, we need to see who is that certain man. Whoever this certain man is, he gave a great supper and invited many. Well, the certain man, you know how this ends. It ends talking about taste my supper. And so this certain man, it could be the Father, God the Father, and or it could be God the Son. It could be the Father and or the Son, either one. It's the Father or the Son, whoever is God. A certain man, parallel, parable, is God, gave a great supper and invited invited many. You know, that lets you know there was an invitation that went out. And the invitation has gone out to all humanity. The invitation, the Bible ended with that invitation. Whosoever hears, come. Who is thirsty, come. Isaiah said, ho, everyone, come. It's all throughout the Bible where God invites many. But notice it says here, and invited many. It doesn't say right there, all. Now, God, we will see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved the world. Yes, he did. But this invited many is to the Jew first. His salvation is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So God came, he came unto his own. John tells us that in John chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus came unto his own. And I can see, I'm not going to finish this tonight, so I'm going to slow down right now instead of trying to finish seven verses in 3 minutes. So let's go to the book of John, John chapter 1, and we'll pick up with this parable next week. John chapter 1, and I encourage you to dig into the parable, study the parable, think about the parable, picture it, meditate on it, talk it out, pray it out, look up some words, see if you know what those words mean, and study, do your own studying. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. See the world there. But then verse 11 says, he came to his own. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And that is talking about the Jew there. Jesus, we know, came through Abraham. He came through that lineage, Isaac and Jacob. Come on down, Jesus, line of the tribe of Judah. Jesus was a Jew. After the flesh, he was a Jew. And it says in John 1:11, he came to his own. And his own did not receive him. Going back to Luke 14 as we sum up for tonight and wrap up for tonight, this man, God the Father and or God the Son, has a great supper. That supper, we'll say, represents fellowship, eternal fellowship and joy with God, where there's no more pain, darkness, sorrow, none of that. It's just joy, joy, joy. And this certain man had this great supper and invited many, the Jew first. And then we'll see, and also to the Greek. So that's where we'll end for tonight. You could study what's up with the Jew first. You know, you could study that. You'd have to go back to Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. That's where it's going to start with the Jew first. Genesis chapter 12 and Abraham. And then you'll have to read from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and you'll get the whole picture and be ready for next week. Well, that was just a little joke there. You probably won't be able to do that, but study however God leads you, even if it just means read this passage every day. And as you read the passage every day, God will give you more. Blessed God, our Father, who art in heaven, we praise and give you glory. Your great name is worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord God, for your richness and your bountifulness and how you come to bless mankind, to the Jew first, yes, but also to the Greek. And how we are glad, Lord God, that the invitation is to all men everywhere. Thank you for not only inviting us, but thank you, I received my invitation and I have accepted it. I thank you, Lord God. And one day I will sit at the table of the Lord. And even now, Father, we can say right now, we have sat at the table of the Lord, sat at Jesus's feet, being fed the word of God by him. We thank you and we praise you. Be with us this week and keep us in your care. Help us to walk the narrow road. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone.
Have a blessed week.
My classmates.
and sorry I couldn't get Miss Sadie, but we'll try again. We'll try and see what happened. I'll talk with or try this week.
Okay, I see Diane Davis. Is that a picture or is that a video? Oh, that's mine. And I see Sharon Young and Lily Carter and Marsha Hall and Benny Brightman. Those are live videos.
Right.
Then there must be a bunch of you all in pajamas. Or you just want to be free. Or maybe you're eating dinner. I don't care. I'm glad you're here. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Kristen's thumb up. God bless you.
Amen.
What a fellowship.
Yes.
What a fellowship. Good food.
Hope to see you next
Love
week.
Love everybody.
Love everybody. God bless you.
God bless you.
Have a blessed week, everyone.
Have a blessed week. Amen.
Amen.
Part 2 next week. Okay, bye-bye. That's Rochelle Cross's name. Amen. And Amen. Linda
Have a good evening, Val.
And all the rest. Bye-bye.
Like everybody owes or something, okay?
And meeting.
Well, you know, the anger, the disgruntledness, and
Catherine, we can hear you.
Okay, everyone, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.